Charles' story. But actually, it's quite an appropriate story to have at this time, isn't it? I mean, lots of bad things are happening at the moment in the world, aren't they? I better put these on, otherwise bad things might happen to me if I don't see what I've got. Sorry. I mean, over the last few weeks, haven't we been watching the news quite horrified? At least I have. In fact, it's been so bad that I haven't wanted to watch it half the time. Horror as the Ebola virus has been spreading around West Africa, and the estimation of the possibility of up to 20,000 people dying from that virus. Sadness that we saw the Spanish priest who died because of the Ebola virus. But gladness when we saw the wonderful recovery of the SIM missionaries, Ken Brantley, the doctor, and Nancy Reitbold, the hygienist. Both were in hugely dangerous jobs. The hygienist's job was to make sure the area was decontaminated and cleaned up. So she was exposed to the virus all the time from the waist. They both became infected and very sick, but both have remarkably recovered. Isn't that wonderful? And as one person commented on the blog, there is an incredible level of braveness in Kent. You don't meet people like this every day. Good can come out of evil things. People can see God working amongst the most needy. But sometimes we just can't see it. Can you? Can you see good coming out of the expulsion of all those Christians from Mosul in Iraq? Can you see good coming out of the devastation being caused by ISIS as it advances across Iraq and Syria? And sometimes bad things are too close to us to see the good that might be coming out. We can't see the big picture. We just can see what's around us. And God's timing is not our timing. It's unknown. Like today's story, there isn't a happy ending. And it took a long time for that happy ending to work out. Today, we ask, how can any good come out of this sordid story? This sordid story of a dysfunctional family who sell their brother to be a slave in Egypt. If we read this story in isolation from the rest of the Bible, it is just a horrid story of jealousy, pride, favoritism, greed, cunning, and deceit. But isn't it a good story? I mean, it is, isn't it? I mean, it's one we all know very well, isn't it? We all know this story. We've probably heard it many times. We've probably heard it from Sunday school till now. So we can learn from it today. I'm going to review the story first. That's because I like telling stories. Let's face it. I love telling stories. Well, here we are. We have a brash young man in his special coat. Why was he brash? We ask ourselves. Well, his father had an awful lot to answer for, didn't he? He had made his son his favorite son. And he'd given him the best coat of all of the family. Now that coat was very special because there were only two people who wore that sort of coat in a family like his. There was the leader of the family and there was the heir. So it was as if he was saying to the rest of the family, Joseph is my heir, even though he's the youngest. It was a multicoloured, jewelled, encrusted, long-sleeved coat fit for a prince. And it never seemed to be off his back. And that was the downfall of Joseph. You see, his father asked him to go and check on his brothers who were looking after the herds of animals, the flocks, who were looking after them. So why on earth would Joseph go in his multicoloured coat, you ask? And I ask, Why on earth wouldn't he put on? I mean, he was going out into the sticks, he may be out for days looking for his brothers. Wouldn't he put on his old coat, for goodness sake? But no, he puts on his best coat. Surely we would have just put on an old jacket, wouldn't we? Nothing special to go out like that. I don't know why he did it. Do you think it was intentional? We're not actually told, are we? But do you think he was trying to rub in the fact that he was had this favoured position in the family to emphasise the dreams that he just had? But you know, wearing it was his downfall, because he was seen from a great way off, a bright jewel in the drab desert landscape. Look, here comes the dreamer, they say. And this gives the brothers plenty of time to cook up their evil plans. Let's kill him. No, says Reuben, let's just throw him in a cistern from which he cannot escape. Sounds a bit like killing him to me. But he had a plan. He actually wanted to rescue him. And it seems that at that point, Reuben probably went off to do something with the flocks and the herds, because the rest of them sat down to eat. And then along comes a caravan of Ishmaelites carrying spices to Egypt. Ah, thinks Judah, wow, here's an opportunity for gain. Here's an opportunity to make profit. Hey, bros, let's not kill this brat. After all, you know, he's our brother. We don't want his blood on our hands, do we? We don't really want that, do we? No. No, let's make a little bit of profit out of him. Hey, let's sell him as a slave to these Ishmaelites. Hey, that's a good idea. Good idea, good idea. Yes, they all thought. So that's what happens. So for 20 pieces of silver, which was the cost of a slave in those days, apparently, 20 pieces of silver, he's sold. His robe is ripped off, and off he goes with strangers into a strange country. Just imagine how Joseph must be feeling now. Is anything good happening to him? No. Separated from his father, whom he loves. Betrayed by his own brothers. And sold like a piece of cloth. How would you feel? Pretty awful. Now Reuben returns and finds the cistern empty. There's no Joseph. He's devastated. How is he going to go back to his father without Joseph? He tore his clothes. He didn't want any harm to come to that little brat, even if he was his pesky little brother. But now the brother's not there. He has to face his father without Joseph, knowing how much his father loved Joseph. So they cook up another deceitful plan. They make it look as if Joseph has been killed. In the sense that he has, he's been removed from the family. He's no longer to be found, is he? But he hadn't really been killed. But so they kill another animal, a goat, and put that blood on the coat. And they took it to the father. They didn't have to say anything. Of course the father recognized the coat. It was a very special coat. He knew it belonged to Joseph. And he comes to the conclusion, which they all want him to come to, Joseph has been mauled by an animal and is dead. Jacob rent his garments and grieved the loss of his favorite son. Meanwhile, what happens to Joseph? Well, he's sold to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. Again, we can't imagine how he must have been feeling. New country, place he knew nothing of. No longer the favored child, but only a slave. How could any good possibly come out of that story? Well, the story in isolation is bleak and sordid and painful, is it not? But it is not the whole story. God's plan of salvation through the family of Abraham is going to take a different turn. Danger is coming to that family, and they could get wiped out in a famine in the land. God is making plans that ends in the family becoming a nation, and in the nation being rescued from Egypt in such a way that it foretells the rescue of the world by the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross for all people. Now that is the big picture. God is and was able to bring good out of that evil. So what can we learn from this story? Well, there are two things really. I think about two things. I'm sure there are other things that may have come to your mind as we've been doing it. I find it really encouraging to remember that there is a big picture. In the present pain and suffering of the world and of us as individuals, as we all will suffer, it's almost being human to suffer, isn't it? Living in this broken world. As we lose a friend or a loved one, as we become more frail, maybe we will suffer financial loss. And as we have difficulty in seeing justice done, in all these things, I have to keep reminding myself that there is a big picture. We have been saved and on our way to being with Jesus in glory. His purposes will be worked out. He is in control, and I need only to trust him. Even when all around me it seems to be bleak and painful, and my trust is really weak. Sometimes it's like holding onto a cliff with my fingertips. It's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes to see the big picture. But I have to remind myself that our present pain and suffering is nothing compared to the glory that we will have with Jesus for eternity. Our pain and suffering is nothing compared to the glory we will have with Jesus for eternity. We need to keep focused on that. Now, the second thing is that we must learn that there are consequences for our own actions. Jacob had a favorite son in whom he lavished his praise and wealth at the expense of other members of the family. The consequence was that he lost his son for years and years and thought he'd lost him forever. Joseph, bragging and insensitive, led him to being sold as a slave. The brothers, too, had to live with their bad conscience and would suffer later. But that's another story, which I won't tell you. You'll have to come back for another time to hear another preacher. But may this story help us to be godly in our relationships, in our families, always to be other person focused. That's to be truly loving. Amen.